Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
We are. We are here.
We're here.
We are here.
Yeah. And glad to be here. This has always been a little bit of a sanctuary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's true.
It is.
I'm looking at this smart card that you gave me, Matt, that allows other people access to this studio, and it's kind of like I want to lose it.
You know, I was like, you know, it took you 10 years to ask for a key to that studio, right?
Oh, wow. Well, this used to be my mentoring room, so.
Oh.
You know,
tell me one person.
You know why this is a studio? Why this room particularly? Who chose this?
No.
God.
Mark Hoffman.
Yay.
He literally picked this out of all of our locations and said, this is where I want you to put it, right here.
Nicely done.
Foundation of youth venture lessons, years of youth venture lessons in this room.
Tell me about one. Tell me about one youth venture lesson in this room that you had.
I don't really have one specific, but I've had multiple in this room where kids outside have been doing something probably super crazy. And it used to be behind us where we're sitting used to be a gigantic window that looked out to the back of Youth Venture. Mm. And it's like a one way, so I could see out, but they couldn't really see in.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of the most holiest moments, basketballs would hit the window and kids would be falling on their scooters or fighting sometimes. And it was just like a really chaotic background for something so holy and spiritual happening.
Yeah. And then life invaded it.
Yeah.
I had a kid once that was upside down in the chair. His head was down there where your feet are, and he was upside down in the chair. And he was a little, I don't know what he was diagnosed with, but you could tell that he was a little hyper.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, wow, this is like my first lesson that I ever gave.
Oh my gosh.
Back in 1947.
And what an experience.
And we went on to a great relationship and everything, but just the fact that he could do that and he wasn't getting yelled at for it.
Sure.
And somebody was listening was a very messy, wonderful experience.
It was good. Fun times in this room.
Yeah.
So this super special time that we had with the unyielding dudes,
mm-hmm.
that was really fun.
Did you enjoy it? Good.
I was kind of buzzing in my seat, even though I didn't say a whole lot, but it's kind of hard when you feel like you're in the room with like Aristotle with Kevin and Plato and Socrates, and you're just learning.
So the only one that makes me feel like that is Spencer.
Spencer,
I don't know why, but he's so smart.
I really appreciate in this season people that say things fearlessly.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that even I was kind of a little bit like, oh my gosh, like they just said that. There are some things where like they would say it and I would be like, yeah, that's right. But I would get like a little nervous, like,
yeah,
I'm going to be in the comment section on their YouTube channel. And then I thought to myself, like, no, this is what Christians should be doing. We say stuff and there's going to be people that are going to be like, that's offensive. And it's like, I mean, the truth can be offensive.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, like, I told them when we did the podcast, I'm trying to be their top commenter person.
I think you are.
And so I see a lot of people all the time that are like, oh, that's not true, or just a group of men like discussing whatever. And I'm just like, no, I think it's necessary for Christians. I think it's necessary for people to come across that are not Christians and have their thoughts challenged. And when I went back and watched the little video that we got to see what it looks like, it was funny because I heard the intro and then like when it came in, I saw myself and I was like, "Watch,
I've made it.
I've arrived."
Oh my gosh. Even though they definitely stole that intro from Douglas Wilson.
So they steal most of the stuff from Douglas Wilson. The thing about it is people have got to listen to The Unyielding and watch it. It's on YouTube or not. And that's our shot at
well,
YouTube.
Well, it's a watchable thing. You can engage differently with it, I think. And it's kind of like going to church or going to something. You know?
Truth. Well, and the thing that we were talking about that is kind of spilling over to this show, this is a season where something nationally and even internationally, mm-hmm. because the assassination of Charlie Kirk, mm-hmm. it has unleashed something all over the world. And there's people that are going to be listening to us that feel one way or another. But the bottom line is we're seeing hundreds of new people coming to Foothills, where we all go.
Yeah.
And they are asking serious real questions. It's not like they're trying to trick people. Hey, would you argue with me, please? Because right. I'm right and you're wrong. What they're saying is, hey, I need to hear the truth. And even if I don't agree with it, I need to wrestle with the truth.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing it. We do a thing at staff, who did you meet? Now, Neil and I, you know how we're out shaking hands, shaking babies, kissing hands, and all of that.
And for those who don't know what staff is that our staff pastor,
it's an infection.
Senior pastor, you meet once a week.
Yeah.
You have a meeting.
Yeah, and once a month, that meeting is almost all worship and ministry and a little bit of business. And then 3 weeks, we open with prayer always, but it's who did you meet comes out at the very beginning. And the people that we are meeting are extraordinary. And we just had the biggest baptism class that we have ever had. This is a church that's over 30 years old. And it was the seriousness of the people. And so
I love it.
We talked about we're in a season, right? That's what we were talking about with Unyielding. And I thought, because we're in this season, I think it would be a really good opportunity for everybody to take a little radio check. Matt, you're the techiest of all of us by far. There must be something with your instruments and something where you check them, right?
All
where
time.
You calibrate it.
Yeah, where all the time.
You make sure that you're tuned in, it's happening, and you're recording everybody's microphone, and all that stuff's happening. And I thought, in some areas of my life, for sure, I've drifted. And that's what we're going to kick around.
That's a good point.
And it happens in different areas of your life. Like you used to eat really, really well, or you used to do whatever you do for fun and release and rest and relaxation or whatever, and you have it. And you go, wait a minute, how long has it been since I, and it's an unintentional drifting.
Yeah.
And I think in the way we share Jesus, the way we live like Jesus, the spiritual habits that we have, I think it's a really good season to check out as Christians where we're at. Are we speaking the truth in love? Mm. Are we really on mission? Mm. He started off the mission and he called us to it. So that's what I want to talk about. What do you think?
Amen.
I think that a lot of the times for me personally, I get like the mental image of someone like walking, trying to walk in a straight line and just kind of slowly like drifting off. To left or to right, and then having to put themselves back on course in the straight line. And I think for me in my life, that's kind of what it feels like when it feels like drifting. But I know I'm really good at processing the things that are my barriers. And I'm a counselor at our church, and I have a history of working in mental health and going through mental health and studying psychology in school. And so I've spent a long time processing. I don't really ask myself a lot, like, oh, what's what? Like, why is that happening? What's going on? And I know for me, it's actually like super simple and sometimes embarrassing to think about. It's really when I am just not in the Word or I'm not praying. When those two things happen, and it's actually kind of strangely, it's almost like I can like tangibly feel and see exactly everything depleting. If I'm not reading my Bible consistently. And, you know, consistently for me doesn't mean like every single day for 4 hours a day studying Hebrew against Greek and, you know, translations. But if I'm not like in scripture, then my anxiety starts coming back. Getting frustrated easily comes back. The self-hatred I might deal with comes back. I like don't really want to hang out with people. And then it's actually very interesting. It only takes, and maybe this is just God's grace on me, it only takes like 2 or 3 days of being consistent in my Bible. And then all of a sudden, like everything shifts. My like emotions shift, my clarity shifts. I struggle with that on and off. If I'm not in my Word, I'm shifting one way. If I'm not praying, I'm shifting one way. And then if I get back on track, then I start feeling better.
Yeah. And you know, it's not a lawful thing. It's not like you must do this stuff.
Yeah.
But it's this nudge when you recognize it. I've been asking some people about this for this little mini series that we're talking about doing here. And I asked somebody, give me an example. And his example wasn't drifting, because drifting is unintentional. Drifting is just kind of, you know, you just take a step in the wrong direction, or you don't take a step that you usually take when you know that you're really walking the straight line, like you said. But his was more a shift. What I want to talk about is not necessarily a shift. Like the style of some of the strongest evangelism dudes that I know, like Shane Blayfield and Drew Miles and people like that, it's changed as they're in a different context with six kids. And like Drew hasn't gone into a bar with a Bible and Joey Vanderbilt's 26-inch biceps in a long, long time. He did. And it wasn't, that wasn't immature then. That wasn't, oh, he was rad then and now he's not rad anymore. No, he's leading employees to the Lord.
Yeah.
And he's got ministries like the foster care ministry and stuff like that where he's serving people. And people aren't chasing Shane Blayfield trying to hit him with their shoe because he refuses to not pray for them in a park. But still, that's a shift and a conscious shift. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is what's nudged you off. What about you, Matt? Where would you say, if, and everybody doesn't have to be in a drifted situation here, but in the seasons of your life, have you recognized at times like, hey, wait a minute?
So I used to travel a lot. I used to go to, when I would come home, there was a stark weight of complacency that would come over me. It seemed like a wave over everybody here because there's a lot less hard things happening than there are in other places of the world. That gives us a lot of time to rest. And I think when we're resting, there's a tendency to drift. And so I think it's super important that we stay focused on mission and on plan and not just leading other people to the Lord, but that we're constantly in the Word and that we are renewing our mind and renewing our spirit. And honestly, that's when revelation from God comes. It's those little revelations that push you through every day. For example, when I am in Italy or Europe, every single person to me seems like a mission field. Every single one at all times. That seems to fade when I'm working here at home. And I don't want that. I think we have a tendency to be too comfortable in our Christianity.
Yeah.
And it should be an uncomfortable, workable thing, something that we're constantly working at.
It's almost like when you're going through something hard and you're struggling, you become more desperate for God. Yeah. But when you're not going through something, you feel like everything's great. Your desperation for God kind of depletes over time.
Right. Yeah. So I think realizing that, it's led me to try and be more intentional.
And that's kind of the pattern. I mean, we're saying all of this and it just has such a natural flow to it. First of all, is that we need to recognize, each person needs to individually recognize. And it says in Hebrews, we must pay the most careful attention so that we don't drift away. And that's what we're talking about. Yeah. We're talking about, hey, let's just calibrate. You know, I don't know who gave me this illustration, but if you're on an airplane, and you are taking off from New York and you're coming to San Diego, if you're just like a degree or two off, you end up in Mexico City.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have ever seen my, what other people would refer to as a golf stroke, like I just bought $15 worth of irons. They were $3 each. They're from 1970 something. And I decided, okay, I'm just going to go hit some balls. If the face of your club is just a little bit off, it doesn't go there. It goes there.
Mm-hmm.
You might not even find your ball because of just a little deviation. And so recognizing it is really critically important.
Great point.
But the thing is that when you do recognize it or you're just before the Lord, because you're absolutely right, shifting back is shifting back to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's shifting back to your relationship with him and setting him aside as Lord of your life, that secret relationship with him, that's what it is. And so if the Holy Spirit kind of goes, hey, that's not condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
That's an invitation.
Yeah.
And to come back and like you're saying, if you're not reading your word, you're not praying, if you're not really just sitting and resting and waiting and listening and taking Mary's part, not Martha's part. Because the Martha part, you can also drift by busyness, right? Like crazy good stuff, busyness.
Which is how we drift most of the time.
Especially in our
in this society.
Yeah. And right now, it is critical that we recognize if that's happening to us.
Yeah.
And lead pastors of churches, both small and big, if they've drifted off mission, if they've drifted off of loving like Jesus loves, then the Lord just bids us to come back because in such a time as this, there are people really, really questioning, and they want the truth, and they want authenticity, and they want genuine, hey, I don't have all the answers, and I'm just about as messy as you. Can I tell you one?
Please.
Yes, please.
Okay, so with Who Did You Meet? We just had the biggest baptism class in the history of the church. And I got there a little bit early. I do that class with
them. They've been huge.
Oh, no, they have. Some of them, they just have been spontaneous. So there's a young lady sitting in the class, and nobody else is there. Do you know how, like, the Lord makes you aware of something?
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is, go, you're sent, go to that. She was brand new, and she didn't quite fit. She kind of stood out, and she wasn't in her long black church dress and a shroud or something. No, okay.
Okay.
We're Catholic.
And so I started talking to her, and you could tell she was really, really nervous. I mean, she was brand new. This is not somebody.
But she was there.
She was there. And she told me her story. And she said, I'm not welcome at other churches. And she told me the story of horrible decisions, of terrible lifestyle that ended up with an abusive relationship where she was left for dead in an alley.
Wow.
Wow.
So we all have our bottom of the barrel, right?
Yeah.
And so she said, I knew I must. I mean, you heard the tone of desperation. I must do this. She said, my mom wouldn't come to be here. But kind of the good part is my little boy could stay with her. And my dad said he'd come. By the time it was time for baptism, she goes, Kevin, he's not coming. And I said, you know what? You're in family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know the women of our church. I know this family that I don't deserve to be a part of. And I know she's going to be okay, that she was brave enough to do that. And she was the first one in the baptismal. And she put it up on her social media, not partially maybe because she was a social media queen of some sort, I don't know. But she wanted to tell everybody who had followed her life that this was her new life. This was an ever since then moment. That's the kind of moment that we're in right now. Yes. And that's why it's so critical we got to check the dials, check where we're at, ask the Holy Spirit to be honest with us and say, okay, I want to recognize where I've drifted, and I'm so sorry, and I accept your invitation to come running back, and he's always there like the prodigal father.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
What a dad.
Yeah.
What a great dad.
Yeah. I think it's so beautiful and so gracious and kind of Jesus to not bring condemnation upon us when we are in season.
Because we so deserve it.
Yeah, we do deserve it.
By his descriptions.
Oh, we'll agree with all the accusations of the enemy. We'll agree with every single one of them.
Yeah. I just think that brings hope. And I hope for people that listen in or tune in that it's like, there's always a fear of maybe I'm too far drifted, like I'm too far gone and I can't get back, or I don't know how to get back, or even just there are some people that feel like I just don't need to like get back because whatever, life is really good right now. But I just think that like he's always there. He's always waiting. I don't know who said the analogy to me, but they said if you feel like you've walked super far away from the Lord, that if you just like literally turn around, he's like right behind you.
That's a great
analogy. Yeah. And I think it's encouraging for those of us that we get really filled with shame in like our seasons of drifting. I don't want to like normalize distance from God, but it is a human thing to get busy and to feel like you are in a season where all your time is devoted to something else. I don't want to like minimize people's struggle, but it also is a lot simpler than we think of to just kind of get back into I don't want to say get back in, but it's easier than we think of to turn back around and give yourself back to
God. Is so gracious.
So gracious.
He restores you where you were at. He doesn't make you start over.
Sometimes it's as simple as just praying, you know, just starting with, Lord, I am sorry for like the distance that I've intentionally been doing, or maybe even I haven't realized I've been doing it, but now I realize I'm doing it. And even something as simple as just getting back into like a couple verses a day or something. I think that just take the first step. I'm just wondering, maybe there are people that think that it's like so much bigger than it actually is, and that's why it feels so overwhelming and daunting.
Yeah.
But it's not as big as we think it is, you know?
This is so for the next three conversations episodes, for this first one is recognizing. The second one is the act of returning, which we're starting to edge into right now. Sure. And then it's reigniting. And those are the three that we want to do. But this is what I'd like to do, Matt. And I think that we've done this once before. First of all, I'd like to pray for the people because I'm feeling that drift myself. Mm. So I think I got a good place to come from because I'm admitting it. And not just in sharing Jesus and stuff, but just it's been a little bit of a season.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit of a rough season for me.
Do you feel like you want to explain a couple minutes what that feels like for you?
Well, yeah, I'll be honest about that. Yesterday was the last day that Sylvia, after just about 30 years of incredible faithful service, will be working with Dave Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the season we're in. She's been ahead of me in this whole, quote, retirement thing. And I've been watching her because she's like the wisest woman that I know. Mm-hmm. That puts her ahead of all the guys.
So, yeah.
Watching her fidelity and watching the struggle with it and the loss. I mean, the platform that we came from.
Yeah.
Mike Van Meter said at the staff meeting, Sylvia has helped all of you pastors in ways that you have no understanding. Mm-hmm. And that's true. So watching that and walking through this with my best friend, that has been something substantial. And then there's been some medical things and some other things with some brokenness with people that I love so much. So that's been hard. It's been a hard season. And so I noticed that all sorts of things. I remember going out of a juice place in Coronado once, and you know, I was in the gym business forever. Mm-hmm. And on the exit out the door, over the door, when you're exiting, it said, you just did something good for yourself. You bought their $7
riches. Yeah.
And I thought, that's the thing, that when you recognize that you're not doing the things you know are good for your body, soul, and spirit, that you just do one of them,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't go do something so crazy. You take that next step. So we're going to talk about returning in the next episode and then reigniting and not getting ahead of ourselves. Right now, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to pray for the people that are listening. And then Matt, I'd like you to, you pick some music, reflective music that you put on the end of this.
Okay.
So that people can just sit with the Lord.
I think I'll play something.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I remember that song.
Yeah, I think I'll make something up.
Okay. And it'll be an opportunity for our family, mm-hmm. that we here, the Send 315 family, just to stop and reflect and recognize how and where they've drifted. Mm-hmm. And then we'll help give back.
Sounds good.
Okay. Father, your presence that includes your love and your rest and your joy is just so palatable right now. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, those who are just finding this conversation, and for those that have been with us since the very, very beginning, that you would, Father, speak to them as they just stop and rest and listen to the voice of their Father who loves them so, so much.